All right, so tonight we're carrying on from last week. Now, just do a brief recap of last week. We're looking at the series Grief and Hope. And last week we looked at a number of things, and we looked at what is grief and what is mourning. I give us a dictionary definition of grief, which is intense sorrow, especially caused by someone's death. We looked at mourning as well. Then some of the points that I made last week was, number one, that Jesus understands how we all feel, or how someone who is grieving feels. So he's not just at arm's length saying, well, you know, carry on and I'll see how far you go. So we looked at that in great detail. We also looked at the fact that from an emotional perspective, grief is really, the pain in grief is real and present. It's not something one can wish away. So it's, you know, really present when one is experiencing grief, that pain. We also said that what grief does sometimes is it gives us a sense of powerlessness and hope, hopelessness. However, we mustn't stop there. We should move ahead from that feeling of powerlessness that one might be feeling and look at it from God's perspective. So last week, we also looked at a number of things with regards to how we begin to move, or let me not say move, how it is we begin to heal from the place of grief, and how we begin to move forward. Not denying that something has happened, not denying the pain that one might be feeling, not denying or trying to pretend that you're not feeling in a particular way, but acknowledging that and, you know, from a biblical perspective, from God's perspective, moving along with your life in a way that, you know, begins to heal that grief that one feels. So we looked at a number of things. We looked at the fact that, look, God understands how we feel. God still has a good plan for each and every one of us. So one shouldn't look at it in terms of, okay, now my life is going to go in a particular way because this person is no longer here, so on and so forth. But that, you know, we should realize and remind ourselves that God has a good plan for us and he will fulfill it. We also looked at the fact that we should also look at grief and loss from an eternal perspective. And one thing I mentioned was from 1 Thessalonians, where Paul was saying to the Thessalonians then that, look, this world, I'm paraphrasing, doesn't end here. There's an afterlife, there is, for the believer, a resurrection. We're going to be with Christ. All the loved ones that we've lost who died in Christ will, you know, see them again. So that's what we looked at last week as a recap. All right. So this week, we're just going to move a step further. And we're looking at what I've called the questions that we ask. There are loads and loads of questions that we ask in the circumstance of grief. But I'm just going to widen these questions to most areas of our lives that maybe in some instances give us concern. And these questions that I'm going to be looking at today is why, when, and where. These are really, really popular questions that we ask. And we want to look at a number of things around asking questions, and directing those questions, not at someone else, but directing those questions at God. What does God feel about us asking him questions? Why do we ask questions? Is it right to ask questions? So on and so forth. So we'll look at some of those things this evening as it relates to asking these questions: why, when, and where. Now, the first thing I want to mention, so I'll look at 5 points tonight. The first point I want to make here is this: asking questions is good. And I believe that, you know, God wants us to ask questions. In the days of Jesus, when he was physically present on earth here, his disciples asked him questions all the time. If you look at Luke chapter 8, verse 9, it says his disciples asked him what this parable meant. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, it says here, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, When will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus spent a long time answering their questions. So the first point I want to make is questions are good. I know there are times that, you know, things happen and we ask, maybe we're asking ourselves a number of questions, or maybe we even ask somebody else a question and they say, look, don't ask any questions. Just accept it as faith. Well, I don't really agree with that in its whole entirety. Questions are good, and God expects us to ask questions. He expects us to ask Him questions. So, first point is there's nothing wrong with asking the question when, why, and where. That's the third question. So that's the first point I want to make. Now, the second thing I want to make, point I want to make tonight is the questions that we often ask are really heartfelt questions. Now, I'm not talking about, okay, you're lost, going to the shops and you ask someone, you know, where's the direction to whichever shop you like going to? No, I'm not talking about those kind of questions. I'm talking about questions that are really embedded deep in our hearts. Questions that when we're lying on our bed in the evenings, or at night, or you're just by yourself, questions that you ask, and they're not really rhetorical questions. It might be, God, why is this happening in my life? Why has that happened? When is this going to happen? So these questions that I'm talking about, asking why, when, and where, I'm not looking at them from the context of just general questions. I'm looking at them from the context of deep questions that we have in our hearts. Do you understand? Not just like your general questions, but questions that are really, really heartfelt. Questions that sometimes might cause us to lay awake at night. Questions that concern us deeply. So, what I'm just saying is the context of the questions I'm talking about tonight are those questions that really, really touch us. Questions that we sometimes need or want desperate, we need answers to, so that we can make sense of life. Those are the kind of questions that I'm talking about. So questions that we ask around why, when, and where are usually very heartfelt. If you look at Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, it says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint. So we see here that this prophet Habakkuk had a lot of questions, and he said, look, I'm going to set time apart. I'm going to really ask God this question. And I have a lot of complaints. I have a lot of things that are on my mind. I need answers. So we see here that wanting to ask these heartfelt questions, they're not wrong. We see people in the Bible who have done that, and I believe that God welcomes questions, particularly questions that we really, really want answers to regarding things that affect our lives. So this prophet Habakkuk was in the same scenario as well. And he just said, look, I'm just going to make time out because I have complaints. I have things that I need answers to. God, you really need to tell me you need to tell me something here. So that's the second point. So the first point is that questions are good. And a lot of questions that we ask, sometimes, a lot of the times, are heartfelt questions. Now, the third point I want to make tonight is looking at some of these questions and people that ask them in the Bible. The first question is why? Why? We look at a gentleman in the Bible called Gideon. And I'll read an extract from the book of Judges chapter 6 verses 11 to 14. Judges chapter 6 verses 11 to 14. And it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oaken ophrah that belonged to Josh the Abirite, where the son of Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Verse 13, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. So this was a man, Gideon, going about his business. And at this point in time, Israel had been impoverished. They were going through a really hard time. They were, and what this chap was doing was he was actually hiding to thresh wheat. Because in those days, when they, you know, it was a very agrarian society, the way they survived was that they planted crops and they harvested them, and that was how they survived. And when they did that in those days, some enemies of theirs, some Midianites would come and raise all the crops, destroy everything. And, you know, life was really, really, really bad for these folks at this time. And an angel appeared to Gideon, and he said, the first thing he said is like, was, you know, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. And he began to ask the question, why? And he looked at himself and said, look, hang on, are you mistaken? And I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm paraphrasing. But if you're saying that the Lord is with me, or the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are the promises in the Bible? The Lord says this concerning me, says this concerning me. It has not happened yet. Why? In fact, he just said, look, God has just forsaken us. So we begin to see a man here that an angel of the Lord was standing before him. It was like God himself appearing to him physically. And he had loads of questions, loads of why questions. And rightly so. These questions were valid. There were things that were really on his mind. There were things that were apparent. Why is my life like this? He said. Why are things, I've been doing this. This God that we're talking about, in fact, I suspect that he no longer cares for us. That's what he was asking. That was what he was saying to the angel. So he had a lot of whys in his life. Why questions? So what am I saying? It's not wrong to ask these questions. I mean, these were like hard, heartfelt questions for Gideon in this instance. So why questions? Now, the other question that we're looking at is when. And here we look at the case of the disciples. When Jesus had resurrected, they were asking him a question. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they said, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So this was a when question. Now, looking at that, you know, line of scripture from Acts chapter 1, verse 6 is a line. And you might just say, okay, look, they were asking him, when are you going to restore Israel, the kingdom back to Israel? But that was a very deep question. Now, for Israel at that time, even before Jesus Christ came, In the days of old, they had great kings like King David, they had Solomon, they had all these people, and they had Israel at that, I mean, in the good old days at that point, had kings. It was a very prosperous nation. They were just, you know, having it cool. But after a while, the kingdoms in Israel vanished. They were taken into slavery by Babylon. Later in life, when Jesus came on the scene, they had been occupied by the Romans, and the Romans just, you know, put them at arm's length, and they were ruled. So these guys were expecting a Messiah that would be a political Messiah. Why? Because they wanted to be self-ruled. They wanted the good old days. So that was really important to them. So for the whole nation of Israel, they were looking forward to the Messiah because they thought that when this Messiah comes, he's going to restore the former glory to the kingdom. Things are going to be really good. But when Jesus came, he was not a political Messiah. He didn't deal with that. He looked and, well, he did things from an eternal perspective. He was interested in their souls as men. So at this point, Jesus had died and he had resurrected. And they still had this question in their mind. When is it going to happen? When, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, in the context of these guys, that was what was paramount in their lives. In your life and in my life, there might be other things that are paramount. And we're asking, God, when is this going to happen? Your word says this about me. This is what I've been expecting for a year, 2 years, a few months. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. God, when is this going to happen? Do you understand? So we see that that when question is something that we ask a lot of times, and it's not wrong. They were directing these questions at God. So we've looked at the why from Gideon. We've looked at the when question from the disciples. Now, let's look at the last question that we normally ask. Where? Now, John chapter 13, verse 36. John chapter 13, verse 36. Jesus began to tell his disciples. He had been with them for 3 odd years. And he began to tell them that he was going to be crucified. He was going away. They were not going to see him again for a long time because he was going to meet the Father. And this got the disciples a bit ruffled. They began to probably ask themselves, what is Jesus saying here? What is really happening here? And Peter asked him a question in John chapter 13, verse 36. It says, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. So Jesus told the chaps that he was going, and they were really concerned. And was like, you know, where are you going? This is really confusing to us. Where really are you going? Now, in the case of this folks, it was relating to where Jesus was going. Now, in our own circumstances or in our own lives, the question might be, where has this person gone? This is my loved one. Am I going to see them again? I miss them so much. Where are they? Can I go there? Am I going to see them? So we begin to see here that the questions that we ask, the why questions, the when questions, the why, the when, and the where questions, these are all valid questions that we should ask. We're not robots. God doesn't expect us to be robots and just to be like, okay, fine, no problem. I'm not going to ask, because we're not. These are the questions that we have in mind. And it's good to ask these questions. Now, so that's the third thing. Now, I just want to make 2 more points tonight, then we'll pray. Now, the fourth point I want to make is this. There are times that God answers the questions that we have. When we look at the Bible, when the disciples came to ask him about the parables, he explained to them. There are times that God, answers questions that we have in our heart. But there are other times that he doesn't give us the answers that we're looking for. And there, if you look at the Bible, there are instances where people ask God or an angel appears and they ask a question. And instead of answering that question, God tells them something else. And you're now wondering, how come, you know, God didn't really answer that question? Now, what do I mean by that? If we look at, before I look at that, okay, let me just look at one or two, the fourth point before I go into the examples here. So if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, this is the fourth point I want to make. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever and ever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. So the fourth point I'm making before I look at one or two examples is the fact that there are times that we will not get answers from God. There are times that we ask questions and we don't get the answers that we need. What do we do in those circumstances? We'll look at that in a minute. But the point I want to make is this. There are questions that we will get answers for, or two. But we need to come to terms with the fact that there are certain questions that, as long as we're on this earth, we might not get the answers to those questions. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm just saying this because, look, we don't want to get to the point where we have the opinion that every question we have must be answered. Now, we would like every question to be answered. I definitely would, and I'm sure you would as well. And God answers the questions that need answering, but there's some that He doesn't answer. If you ask me why, well, I don't know. But one thing is sure, that when we transit from this world, the Bible says that at the moment we know in part. There is coming a time when we will meet God face to face, and He will give us the big picture. At that point, He'll answer all the questions that we have. But in this present, at this present time, we need to get it and understand that it's not all the answers that we need that we're going to get. And that's just it. Now, the fifth and final point I want to make, which I started on just shortly ago, a while ago, is this. There are times that God answers certain questions that we have, and there are times that He doesn't. Now, if we look at something quite interesting here, in Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, we read earlier about the story of Gideon, who the angel appeared to him, and he had a barrage of questions for the angel. The angel greeted him saying, "You're a mighty man of valor." And he looked at himself and he says, "Hang on, I'm paraphrasing. I suspect that you've got the wrong person here, because this, my life is just, you know," and he began to ask him, why? But something interesting happened. And I'll just point that out to us. So I'll read again Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. It says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where the son of Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian.'" Listen to God's response to his questions. "The Lord turned to him and said," now, I'm sure you'd be expecting the answers to Gideon's questions. No. He says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" I found that a bit odd. He's asking all these questions, and the Bible says, "The Lord turned to him." This is God speaking to him face to face now. And instead of answering his questions, he said, "Go in this strength that you have and save Israel." Let's look at another scenario about the disciples, which we read earlier. We read that the disciples were asking Jesus, "When are you going to restore Israel back to us?" I'll read Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. It says, "When they had gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' Listen to what Jesus said to them. Verse 7 says, he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" Now, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, till the ends of the earth." Now, what is the point that I want to make here? The point I want to make here from what we've read is this. There are times that God will give us the answers to questions that we ask. However, there are times that He doesn't give us the answers that we need, the answers to our questions. But what He does in the circumstances where He doesn't give us the answers is He does something to us. He gives us strength to carry on with life, strength to bear with the unanswered questions that we have in our minds. So we see in the case of Gideon, he didn't answer Gideon's questions. He said, look, go in your strength. So God gave him strength to carry on, a supernatural kind of strength. When the disciples came to him, they said, when are you going to restore Israel back to us? Jesus said, look, guys, it's not just, you know, leave that aside. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, you will receive power. You receive strength when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So the point I'm making here tonight for us, and which is pertinent to us tonight, is this. At the times and during the times that we do not get answers to our questions, the why questions we have, the where questions we have, the when questions we have, at times that we don't receive the answers, God does something to us. God gives us a strength, a supernatural kind of strength to bear with those, to carry on with our lives, but bearing with those unanswered questions. So what am I saying here tonight? I'm saying here tonight that there are questions that we will not get the answers to, but God doesn't leave us just on our own. He does something supernatural. He gives us strength to carry on. He gives us strength. He gives us hope in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I believe God does this is this. He knows that, look, there are questions that he just can't give us the answers to at the moment. For whatever reason, I don't know. But God wants to remind us each time we have these questions that seem unanswered, that we need to trust in him. We need to trust in the plan that he has for our lives. We need to come to the point and remind ourselves of the fact that, look, even though I don't have answers to these questions now, God has still got me. I'm in God's perfect plan. God is still going to, you know, he's still going to see me through to where I need to get to. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. It says, plans to give you hope and a future. Psalm 31, verse 14 says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. So the point I'm making tonight is this. Irrespective of the questions that we have that might not be answerable at this point in time, we can rest assured about something or about a number of things. Number one, God will empower you and I supernaturally to bear with those unanswered questions through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing as well is this, God wants us to be rest assured that, look, irrespective of what has happened or what is happening at the moment, as long as we still commit our hearts to him and as long as we still trust him, even though we might be sad, even though we might be shaky, even though things might be happening, he wants us to remember that his plans for us do not change. And those plans are not just plans that are out there. No, he's specific. He says his plans are to prosper us. His plans are not to harm us. His plans are to give us hope and a future. Do you understand? So that's just what I want to mention tonight. So tonight I've said, look, a number of things. I made a number of points. The first point I made was that, look, asking questions is good. Jesus expects us to ask these questions. The second point I made is that the questions we have oftentimes revolve around why, when, and where. The third point I made is that people in the Bible have asked questions as well. God's not upset when we ask questions. He wants us to ask questions. The fourth point I made is that we need to come to terms with the fact that there are certain questions that we might not get the answers to right now or even in this lifetime. So that's what happens sometimes. But I ended up saying in the fifth point that, look, when God doesn't answer our questions or when we don't find answers to our questions, God replaces he gives us supernatural strength to bear with those unanswered questions. And he wants us to carry on trusting in him. Why? Because the plans that he has for us are unchanging, irrespective of the questions that we have, answered and unanswered. His plans do not change. The plans are to prosper us, to give us a hope, and to give us a future. So that's what I just wanted to talk about with us, well, tonight, in our second series of Grief and Hope. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this in the context of grief, that maybe some of us have lost loved ones, maybe we're going through a period and we're asking these questions. Why did this happen? When is this, you know, when this, when that? So these questions are not out of place. However, when we don't get the answers to these questions in the context of grief, God wants us to do something. He wants us to just be rest assured that, look, His plans for us still stand. He wants us to be to rest assured that, look, we need to really trust in His plans and that He's still going to get us to where He wants us to get us to. That, and not only that, as we go through this journey of life, He does something as well. He gives us a supernatural comfort. He gives us supernatural strength so that we're not burdened with these questions and we can still live life joyfully. We can still live life excited about the things that God has in stock for us. And I'm going to stop there tonight and we'll pray.